This is File 50, Cycle 3. Today's date is August 14th, 2018. This is Jean McMillan. I am interviewing Helen Klein Ross, who's going to talk about the renovation of Hollywood. But first, we'll start with the hard stuff. What is your name?
My name is Helen Klein Ross.
And how did you meet Robert Anderson, the contractor?
I met Rob in Armenia. We had bought a farmhouse there in 1993 and lived there many years. And then finally, in 2010, we were deciding to renovate it. So Frank Gerritsen was the architect. Robbie Anderson was the contractor, and he was making the kitchen of our dreams. He had reclaimed a shed for a writing studio. He does amazing work. His work with old houses especially is just stunning. And that's how we met Rob. And then Rob introduced us to Hollywood.
And when did you first see Hollywood?
That would have been November 2010. It would have been right after Thanksgiving, because I was there. I was working in the city at that time, but because of it was after Thanksgiving that week, I was up there, and Rob was there working on the kitchen, and he left for a little while for lunch or something, and he came back and he said, "Oh, I just saw Hollywood is for sale." And I thought, Hollywood, like the whole town? What?
Yeah. That's sure.
And he said, no, the house, Hollywood. I said, what are you talking about? So he began to describe this house that one family had lived in since 1853. And he said, Helen, if you know anybody who's looking for a big, beautiful, rambling house in the country, they don't make houses like this anymore. It's a house built to industrial strength. In the basement, the foundation bricks are limestone and 2 feet wide, and the floors are straight, and the basement is dry as a bone, and you know it's going for a song. I mean, so of course I'm interested, being
sure.
Interested in real estate. So he gave me the name of Robin, the realtor Robinson Leach, and I called Robin, and Robin gave me the address, and the next day I drove to see it. But you know, it's funny, up here, even living in Armenia 15 minutes away, I never came to Lakeville. I was not familiar with Lakeville. So I am looking for the house, 56 Millerton Road. I don't see it. He had described the house, so I was looking for this kind of quirky, big behemoth, and I couldn't see anything like that. So I kept driving back and forth, past the Holly House, which I did go to a lot with my daughters. We used to love to go there when it was a museum. Margaret had her 8th birthday party there.
Oh, lovely.
Where the girls tried on corsets and,
oh, Lordy.
And you know, pretended to be ladies in the
1800s. Yes.
It was very fun. So that house I knew, but that's about it. So anyway, I finally see a little sign. Could that be it, I think? And this dark. So I turn the car. By this time, I'm turning left because I'd gone back and forth. I'd missed
it.
I go back down this very dark, dark lane. The trees were just like a canopy over the house. And I made the curve, and then I saw the house that looked kind of interesting but dark. And I walked. I parked the car, and I walked up the steps. And Robin was at the front door, and he opened the door. And I walked in, and it was like a physical blow to the chest. It was, oh my God, this is amazing. The moldings are hand high and so elaborate. The heat registers are works of art. These silver, beautiful iron registers. What else was it? Oh, the doors. Oh, the arched doors that were almost as high as the ceilings. The old glass, you know, it was just, I mean, that's what I saw. Of course, what there was nothing like that. I mean, all those things were there.
They were there, but they were
surrounded. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were surrounded by, you know, holes in the wall, and the parlor was painted a hot pink, and there was water damage. and everything was kind of dirty, and you know, because it had,
yes,
you know,
but you had a vision and you could see past all of that.
I could, yeah, I did. I felt like the house kind of grabbed me. As soon as I walked in the door, I felt almost choked by the house.
Oh, it was, wonderful.
It was, yeah, it was a very emotional thing.
Who built the house?
Alexander Holly, the governor. He had made 33 drawings of a house. He was really a house person. And so, yeah, this a bit of lore that I heard, or maybe I read it, because there's lots of notes about mm-hmm. Alexander Holly. He had been sent to boarding school when he was 8 to a place 11 miles away. And his brothers had been there. Maybe his brothers were already there. But he did not like that. So he walked home mm-hmm. 11 miles.
Yeah.
And in the notes it said he was sent back with just a reprimand. And I'm thinking, just a reprimand? Here he is. He's like 8 years old. My God.
And he walks 11 miles. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't know if those are the exact... I'm a fiction writer, so
yeah.
Maybe I have fictionalized this story.
It's okay. It's
I don't know what the
story.
Real story
it's
is.
It's a good story.
I actually put that in the book that I'm writing. So,
wonderful.
You know, it's like it's probably made up, but...
So what?
Yeah, so what? Anyway, it was from that story, certainly the germ of that story did happen. Mm-hmm. I felt like he was a real home person. This man grew up with the notion of, I want a home. I want a certain kind of house. It's really important to me. Mm-hmm. He was a house person. So he drew 33 drawings, and before he hooked up with an architect, Gerard Fountain, I guess that was, to make the house come out of his brain and into reality. When he first built the house, it was just the brown part. Here's kind of a funny aside. So when I walk up to the house for the first time, I notice how dark it is, and I do not like the brown stucco on the outside. And my thought is, oh, you can probably remove that. You know, there's probably brick underneath. Not realizing the historic quality. And anyway, he kept notes, as you know,
oh, yes.
in building the house. And I have Catherine Chilcott I hooked up with when we first bought the house.
Yep.
And she showed me some of his writings and shared, you know, mm-hmm. some of the stuff with me. And I was so interested in the fact that he himself took part in a lot of the work.
Mm-hmm.
There's a note saying, today I mixed the gravel and paint for the coating for the house, which was Ohio paint and a certain amount of gravel. All his building supplies were obtained locally or in New York City, like the marble fireplaces he bought down in New York City. Mm-hmm. But the limestone was from here, the marble was from here, the a lot of the stuff was local.
And he had enough left over to build another house, which he gave to his daughter.
Oh, wait, I don't know about that one.
31 Millerton Road. It's now white with black trim, but it is a Rudd house.
Oh,
Peter Oliver.
I always wondered about
that.
Because there's
house.
A little sign that says Holly House. This is a Rudd, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it was a Rudd house.
Holly Rudd.
Yeah, it was
and
a Rudd house.
I asked somebody, maybe it was Peter, maybe somebody else, but I didn't know the story. So that's very interesting that was built of the leftover stuff from here.
Mm-hmm.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
These are the little things that you have to dig for, but it makes it so much more interesting.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Well, he was born in Holly House, I guess, Alexander
Well,
Holly.
We used to call it the Holly Williams House because
it
descended to Mariah Williams, and when she passed away in 1970, her niece, Lucy Drummond, willed the house to the town. But unfortunately, there was no endowment.
Oh.
So the Salisbury Association took it over and ran it for several years. But it was a money pit.
Yeah, of course. Any old house is.
Any old house
as
is.
As we know.
Yes, as you're learning.
Yes.
When did you actually buy Hollywood?
We closed in March of 2011.
And when did you start renovating?
Almost that week, yeah. In fact, I think the painters... So we were at the closing, and the painters started like the second we had signed the papers.
And did you do it all of a piece or bits and pieces?
All of a piece. And I really felt that was important because, just like Alexander Holly, it seemed he had thought of the house as a piece. Mm-hmm. I thought that was important, and also it made sense if you're renovating, you know, the time and money is much less if you do it all at once rather than trying to do it one leg at a time. Mm-hmm. But I shouldn't say that because he built the core of the house in 1853.
And then he put on the addition.
And then he put on the addition. Or she did.
She did.
She had pretty remarkable vision for her day. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine how they moved the staircase from the front of the house to the back of the house without motorized equipment.
Oh, they were very, very ingenious and a lot of bull strength. You look at some of the landscapes that Capability Brown did, and you wonder, how did he dig that lake? And it was done with pick and shovel. They had the time.
I guess.
You know, it was workmanship they cared about. They took the time to do a good job. It wasn't, well, it's 5 minutes past noon, I'm going to have my lunch break. I mean, it was
I have to check my email.
right. It's a very different era.
Yeah.
You'd had a blog that you did while you were renovating. Where did the idea for that come from?
Let me think. It must have started... it started before... I guess it started after we bid for the house, or when our offer was accepted, mm-hmm. and then I knew that the house would be ours. I guess I was just excited and ebullient, and it was 2011... So it was still in the era when people did blogs.
Yeah.
Or I did, you know, writers did blogs. And I guess I wanted to keep a record of things mm-hmm. going forward. And I'm kind of disorganized and lose papers. And I felt like that would be a place where I would always have things to refer to.
Good point.
Now,
you had some interesting finds. When you took off some of the wallpaper, what did you find?
Signatures. As you say, people really took pride in their work, and all the walls that were wallpapered were signed by the wallpaperer. So we learned the names of some of the wallpapers going around, and most of the signatures were tiny, just small mm-hmm. in you know, near a wall line or a corner. But one of the signatures was huge. F. Shook. He was big. Whatever rooms he had wallpapered were big. And then in one of the rooms, in the step up room upstairs, there was a pencil word under. So you saw this big signature, F. Shook, and underneath, what the crook?
Oh my!
A crook. And that was, I guess, the next wallpaper, because clearly he found F. Shook's work wanting.
Oh, my. And the tower room. The tower room was painted.
The tower room up in the fourth, the turret, the tippy top? Or
that's what you said, something about the sign, the painters had signed.
Oh, yes. I forgot that. I think I have a picture of it on the blog. That's right. In the tippy-top turret, there was a long column of names, and that was plasterers, painters, wallpapers who had worked in the house. And, yeah, I was really sorry to lose that, but the plaster was really gone in the turret.
And it was plaster. It wasn't sheetrock.
It was not sheetrock. We couldn't save it.
Now, you said that the glass was original.
All the glass in the house is original to the house. So
nobody broke a pane?
I know, isn't that amazing? Well, how did this happen? There was a hole. When I guess it was Sarah, was the third wife, mm-hmm. and moved the stairwell back, they cut a hole in the wall so that light from a window would stream through in the circular. Mm-hmm. They didn't fence that hole or block it in any way. So generations of Rudd children grew up not killing themselves by falling down this hole. I find that remarkable. And yes, all the panes, there were a couple broken panes, but not many.
That's wonderful.
It was amazing. Uh-huh. And, you know, there's signatures on a lot of the panes. Signatures, Malcolm Rudd.
Yeah.
It was a, you know, big signature. and a couple others. But there, in one of the guest rooms, there's a whole column of signatures. And before we opened the house to the library, to the town, that was November 2012, the week before, we invited family members, Rudd family, Holly family, and, you know, we just had a little reception, and they went through the house, and some of them were excited to find the names of their forebears written in the glass.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what they use, a diamond?
Oh, yeah, ring? Yeah. Over at the Holly Williams house, up in Miss Williams' bedroom, there was a signature with a diamond that when she got engaged, I think she signed her name.
Yeah.
So these are the things that make a house special.
Yeah.
They really do. And each house has its own personality.
Yeah.
You go into various houses, if you're house hunting, and each house has a personality. And you and the house clicked, and that's what makes it so wonderful. It truly is. I do think that the houses sometimes will reach out to somebody that they want to live within their walls. And it's a nice feeling. It's a very...
Because we were not looking for a house.
No. As your husband said, we're in the middle of renovating this one.
Yes, right.
And tell me about the fresco in the hall.
Oh, the fresco. That was discovered. That was a big shocker. You know, we would come up on Fridays, and because we were pure weekenders in those days, come up on Fridays, and Rob and Ellen would be here. It'd be late afternoon, and sometimes there would be something new that had been discovered. Well, this day it was a huge newness that had been discovered because the entire wall. The entire western wall of the front hallway was a fresco. It wasn't a perfect fresco by any means. It was very damaged. But it was, I thought, a beautiful artifact that reflected the tiger's eye marble of the fireplace in the parlor. By that time, we had discovered that the fireplace in the parlor was tiger's eye. It had been painted white, so we did not know that it was marble.
Uh-huh.
But the painter... Jason Hanley said, first question was, what color do you want to paint it? And we didn't know. And then he scraped it and said, oh, never mind.
Yes.
It's
yes,
marble.
Yes. Like you don't paint black walnut either.
Right. And so I fell in love with this. To me, it was like discovering a cave wall in your house.
Mm-hmm.
A cave wall that existed for, hundreds of years, and I didn't want to touch it. But Donald and Ellen Burcroft and Rob Anderson really had a greater vision, which was you don't really want the front door. It would be one thing if it was a side hallway, but this is the entrance hallway, so you don't want it to look like a bomb shelter, which it was sort of damaged, this wall. But, so that was really one of the few compromises.
But you saved a portion of it.
We saved a portion, and we also talked to Rob, and Rob assured us that should someone else come to this house and want to revive the fresco, that would indeed be possible.
You did have to do some major updating of plumbing and electrical.
Oh, everything, yes.
Yeah.
Ron Carpenter brought the electricity up to date. He even made the bell butler in the kitchen work.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so...
Does the butler come?
No, unfortunately. I've tried and tried, but no butler appears.
Darn. Well, if I'm looking for another job...
Yeah. Oh. You know what else? He gave us the front doorbell, Ron Carpenter.
Oh!
He was a volunteer fireman in Canaan, and they were getting rid of some things, and so he brought the bell from the Canaan Firehouse and donated it to the house.
Wonderful.
So that's our front doorbell. Which is, it's so much nicer than a door, the modern doorbells.
Oh, yeah.
Like
it goes with the house.
Yeah.
And the doorknob that you have on that front door.
Oh, yeah. That was there.
Yeah.
So those were...
Oh, yeah, because it's of the period, again.
Yeah.
And
what the other thing that Ron did is found these electric plates on the walls where the on or off switches are. That are brass plates, and they look old-fashioned, and they're they're so convincing that a couple people who I've given tours to say, oh, are these plates original to the house? Of course, 1853 was way before electricity. So,
yeah.
But they look old. They
sure.
Look like they really fit in.
Oh, but
I had never seen electric plates like that, so it was really kind of great to...
And you ended your renovation in November of 2012.
Yes,
why?
Right before.
Why?
Because we had a hard stop. We had a deadline.
Why?
And that was the Scoville Memorial Library. I did have a friend in Salisbury, Kathy Volstead. She was on the board of the library. And she asked if we would open the house to the town as a fundraiser for the Scoville Library when we were ready. And I said, sure. So when we made this commitment, I think it was probably January, so we thought, okay, by November. And we consulted with Rob, and we thought November was sort of a safe. It was the end of November. But of course, like any renovation, we decided to add things and, you know.
And glitches happen.
Yes. Uh-huh. So it was sort of a mad dash that last week to get everything to be like in viewing shape.
And it was a successful house tour.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think over 400 people came. It was Judy Gaffney and Kathy Volstead and Janet
wonderful.
Kaufman. Those were the three, I think, who really put it together. So for us, it was, you know, it was great because people donated. For that house tour, they got florists to donate flowers. They got... I think Janet did the catering.
We all worked together.
Yeah,
we all
it was
worked
very
together.
Nice. It was very nice to see.
Now you've got a book coming out in November, and its title is
"The Latecomers."
And where is it setting?
It's set here. Well, it's set in Hollywood, although it's not really Hollywood. Of course, it's a novel, so the story is fictional. But it came from. It came from sitting in this room, right where I'm sitting, and looking at this bookcase that was built in 1860, given to the governor a year before the Civil War. And I would think, like, all the stories that happened in this house, all the stories in these walls, and I began to kind of craft a story that would fit the house. And I used the details of the house, which was kind of great for a writer. You know, when you write a novel, part of the hard part is keeping the setting straight so that in chapter one, if the bedroom is blue...
You don't want to make it purple.
Right. Yeah. So, but using the house as a setting made it much easier because, for instance, there's a childbirth scene. A woman gives birth to a child in what is our master bedroom. And I have a scene when her first child, the door's closed, and the first child stops hearing things, and she thinks that she's going to go in, but she's not sure, so she hesitates at the closed door, and her little hand reaches up for the doorknob, and I'm thinking, is that a porcelain doorknob? What is that? So I run downstairs from the studio to look. Oh, no, it's cut glass. That's perfect. That's even better. So there was lots of aspects of the house that it was great that I didn't have to invent.
Makes it easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, if you invent it, you have to remember it.
Yes.
But if it's here, I didn't have to remember anything. I could just go downstairs to see.
Oh, wonderful. And when is your book coming out?
November 6th is the publication
in 2018.
Date. 2018.
Oh,
yeah,
wonderful.
6th, yeah. Thank you.
Now, you've been living in the house for a while. Are you still happy with it?
Oh, yes. In fact, yesterday I stopped Donald on the stairs and I said, I love this house.
Oh, wonderful.
I just love this house. I feel like it's a character. It's just, it's part of, it's, I don't know.
It's a good fit.
It's beautiful.
It's
yeah,
a good
it's
fit.
Just everywhere I look, I thank Alexander Hamilton Holly for, you know, making this ceiling and for the careful way he carved that beam and for the beauty of this fireplace. And, you know, he thought of everything.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Future plans, either for your writing or the house or landscaping, anything that you've thought of that you want to add?
I have no future plans for the house. I just
You're happy as it is.
I'm happy as it is. And I guess I wish I could just prolong this moment of being here healthy and happy in this house.
You will. You will.
That's my only hope for the future.
Is there anything that you'd like to add to this interview before we close?
Only that I printed out a lot of people contributed to the making of this house, or the revival of this mm-hmm. house. And there's a list of names there, of all local people, stonemasons and landscapers and painters. And
it's a wonderful resource.
It's a wonderful resource, yeah.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Jean.